and Carrie Spector have been longtime friends. We actually see Robert much more than we see Carrie, so we are glad she made it, and we had some good fellowship last night over Shabbat dinner. Robert serves on the board of the National Jewish Fellowship with Michael and I. He's the treasurer, and he has a lot of other responsibilities besides, you know, over his own ministry. He serves on another board. I don't know how he fits everything in, so but it is our pleasure to have Robert come to speak with us, and afterwards we are going to receive an offering for his ministry. In addition, they have a table set up with Judaica. It's a good time to buy some Hanukkah gifts, hint, hint. You know, there's nice, a lot of nice things there. But please welcome Robert and Carrie, and again, it's our pleasure to have you share with us.
Shabbat shalom. It is a pleasure to be back. I was here a couple of years ago, and it's always good to be here. Wonderful worship. I think that every worship team needs a trumpet player. That was wonderful. The whole team, of course, give them a hand. They were wonderful. It's great. Thank you. The Ministry of Rock of Israel was started by my father. He grew up in an Orthodox home, but when he became a believer, he was zealous for Yeshua, and so he wanted to tell the world. Of course, he was ostracized from family, but he told everyone about Yeshua. In fact, he went to Bible school and became a missionary in Haiti, and that's where I was born. I was born in Haiti. I don't know if you've ever met a Jewish Haitian before, but now you have. Then he went to Africa, and it was while he was in Africa that God spoke to his heart to come back and start a ministry to his own people. And so he did that. And Rock of Israel began in California. And then when I graduated from college, he asked me to help him in the ministry. I did, and later became president and moved it from California to Ohio. There were several on staff that thought we were moving to the North Pole, but we did it anyways, and it was a good move. We wanted to be more centrally located. We were traveling cross-country, and it just made sense to have a central location. And I found out that 70% of the U.S. population is east of the Mississippi River, 70%. So it made sense to be in Ohio. We began to go to many different cities and proclaim Yeshua to the people downtown, and that worked for a while, but after a while it was difficult because everybody has a cell phone and has earbuds, and you just can't get their attention on the street like we used to be able to. And so God opened a different door of ministry for us, and that is to go to state fairs. So now we go to state fairs, state and county fairs, wherever we'll find Jewish people. For instance, next month we'll be in January, we will be in Florida at the South Florida Fair, a lot of Jewish people in South Florida. And then we'll, in February, be in Tampa for the State Fair. We know when to go to Florida, January, February. And so we go to these fairs, and we get to talk to a lot of people. We also share with Christians and want to motivate Christians to share their faith of Yeshua with their Jewish friends. Oftentimes I will ask a Christian if he knows anyone Jewish, and they'll often say, no, I don't know anyone Jewish. And I'll say, well, I want to introduce you to Yeshua. He's Jewish. But anyways, one of the things that we have on our tables is, of course, books and jewelry and all kinds of Judaica. And so what is out in the foyer is much like what we have at the fairs. And that draws Jewish people to us. In fact, I have a short video I'd like to show you so you could see how we're reaching Jewish people at these fairs.
Since 2006, Rock of Israel Ministries has found a unique way to reach both Jewish and Gentile people with the gospel. In the marketplace, we've been renting booths at state and county fairs. However, one of the best fairs we have found is actually not in the U.S., but in Toronto, Canada. It is at the Canadian National Exposition, also called the CNE, and it has 1.5 million attendees each year. Toronto is a city much like New York, with a very diverse population. We meet more Jewish people here than any other fair. And with our many Jewish and biblical products out there on the table, including books, Art of the Covenant models, jewelry, and more, it brings many curious people over to us each day, much like fishing and bait. For instance, last year at this fair, we were able to share the Messiah with over 325 Jewish people who came to our booth. That number is not even including the hundreds more non-Jewish people we speak with as well. And even if they do not stop to talk, hundreds more will stop dead in their tracks and read our large banner, which says, "Jesus made me kosher." Jewish people will stand there for a minute or more and read how Jesus is the Jewish Messiah. Of course, many non-Jewish people stop to read it as well. We cannot tell you how productive this unique banner has been over the years. For those who do come over and talk with us, most will take a bookmark, which is a copy of the banner, "Jesus Made Me Kosher," and listen as we share how we are Jews who believe that Jesus is the Jewish Messiah, promised to our people. Of course, there will be some who are open to the message. If they are open, we will give them a free book of Jewish testimonies or something similar. Conversely, there are always some who oppose us being there as well. Sometimes we get a visit from local rabbis who seek to stop what we are doing. They show up with video cameras and argue with us. Nevertheless, we are sure that the gospel will go forward no matter what the situation. And the booth in Toronto is just one of the many booths we have rented and continue to rent across North America each year, armed with good volunteer staff who love God and love the Jewish people. With all that being said, may we ask for your help?
So what we have last year was seven fairs that we went to, and we spoke with about 800 Jewish people at altogether at these fairs. Next year, we hope to go to eight fairs, and there's a couple new fairs that we are going to. One is in Miami, and the other is the Big E in Massachusetts. So pray that we get into that fair. We haven't received or we haven't been able to get into that fair yet, so pray that our application for the Big E in Massachusetts has our booth next year. The second area of ministry for Rock of Israel is going to churches and helping Christians understand, first, that the Bible is a Jewish book written by Jews, but also to help them understand the priority of reaching Jewish people, that they have a job to do. And I want to share more about that in the message. But also we want to show them that Jesus is in the Old Testament. And so we're teaching on types and symbols, of course, the Jewish feasts and how we see Yeshua there. The third area of ministry for Rock of Israel is the resources that we bring. I want to mention four books. The first book is not really a religious book. It's called Myths and Facts, A Guide to the Arab-Israeli Conflict. I don't know if you're aware of it, but there are many Christians that are anti-Israel. There are Christians who are boycotting Israel. And so I want to give you the way to argue or to dispel their comments about Israel not being the land for the Jewish people. Anyways, Myths and Facts, A Guide to the Arab-Israeli Conflict. The second book I want to mention is a book that probably is a heavy book to read. It's called Copernicus and the Jews, written by Daniel Gruber, and subtitled The Separation of Church and Faith. It is not for the light reader, but it is a very important book to help understand the relationship of God to Israel. And the third book I want to mention is a book that, again, would help you answer questions for Christians. It's 60 Questions Christians Ask About Jewish Beliefs and Practices, written by Dr. Michael Brown. He's written many books, and in fact, he has a five-volume set of books on answering the Jewish objections. And so anyways, it's a good book. The last book is a Bible. It's called The Complete Jewish Study Bible. It not only is the translation by David Stern, but also has commentary and is a great study Bible for those who want to understand the Bible in its Jewish context. All right, enough commercial. Well, let me say that I hope that you come to the tables after the service. There's three reasons. The first reason is that some of the material, some of the books, you won't find in your bookstore. In fact, many bookstores are closing, so you won't find bookstores, much less books. But anyways, this is a great opportunity for you to get the books. Secondly, whatever you purchase supports our outreaches. I'm sure you're aware that we can't just show up at a fair. We have to pay to be there. In fact, some of the fairs cost a lot of money. The one in Canada costs $5,000 just to have a booth. That isn't including our travel, lodging, meals, all the other expenses of an outreach. And the one in Miami next year will be $4,000. So the sale of these items helps support ministry. So not only are you supporting our ministry, but you're also getting something to perhaps give away at Hanukkah or for yourself. So you're supporting ministry with your purchase. The third reason, oh, by the way, I came prepared if you did not. I have an app on my phone to take your credit cards if you need to do that. And the third reason is every item you buy is one less we'll have to pack up. So I hope you help us. I want to introduce my wife to you. Carrie, please stand. Carrie is my wife of 37 plus years. And we have four wonderful children and four and another coming grandchildren. And so we're very blessed. And Carrie homeschooled the children, and I assume they'll homeschool also when the kids get older. And so we are very blessed. As I said, I wanted to share with you what I believe Christians need to hear. And so I'm commissioning you to tell your Christian friends five things. In fact, I think it is imperative that they learn these things if we are going to see what Jesus prayed. Remember what Jesus prayed? He taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," where? On earth. And so if his will is going to be done on earth, it's going to require Christians to understand what they're to be doing. All right, so these are five things I need you, and I need you to help me tell Christians everywhere what they need to be doing. So first of all, or at least understand that they need to be reaching Israel. These are five reasons that they need to be reaching Israel with the good news. The first thing is that even though the scriptures, God says Jewish people are a priority, first to the Jew, Christians neglect and misunderstand Jewish people. Now, why do Christians neglect and misunderstand the Jewish people? Well, I think it's an age-old problem. We have in the Parsha today a situation where there were many misunderstandings, or at least expectations, that weren't fulfilled. First of all, we have Isaac expecting to bless Esau, right? He expected to bless Esau, but his wife knew some tricks, you know? And so she fooled Isaac, and Jacob received the blessing. So there's an expectation that was unfulfilled, and I don't know what that did to, you know, Isaac and Rebekah's relationship. I'm not sure what happened to that, but anyways, there was expectations unfulfilled. Throughout this story of the Parsha, this relating of events, there are expectations. Esau's expectations, even though he sold his birthright, he expected to be blessed by Jacob, by Isaac. And so there are expectations. And I think that this is happening today, that Christians have expectations that are false expectations, and we need to show Christians that the Jews are a priority, that Israel is a priority, and that until Israel becomes a priority, his kingdom will not be on earth. And I want to show that to you. All right. So let's look at this. I said that Christians neglect and misunderstand. Why do Christians neglect Israel? Why do Christians neglect Israel? Now, obviously, I am generalizing. You recognize that. When I say Christians neglect, I'm talking about a lot of Christians, not all Christians, right? So don't misunderstand me. I know that there are Christians who love Israel, but we're talking about many who don't. Well, the reasons are this. Bad theology. Bad theology has caused many Christians to neglect the Jewish people. Some Christians believe that Jews can't be saved. They think that God is finished with them. They had their chance. And even that since they killed Jesus, they are under God's judgment. These are false doctrines, false theologies, because obviously Jews can be saved, right? And not only can they be saved, but God's not finished with them. I ask Christians, how many chances has God given you? More than one. And so the idea that they had their chance, the fact is that there were many Jews who didn't reject Jesus. There were many Jews who followed Yeshua. And so the idea that God was finished with them is false, or that they had their chance, or that they killed Yeshua. Yeshua said, "No one takes my life," right? So why are Jewish people blamed for killing Yeshua? He said, "No one takes my life." And in fact, it was God's will. So if you have to blame someone, you have to blame God. But there are other doctrines that make it so that Christians neglect the proclamation of the good news to the Jewish people. Some Christians believe that all Jews are saved, that they don't need Yeshua. However, Yeshua said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." And so here's another example of a bad doctrine that some Christians believe that all Jews are saved. In fact, I believe that this is the case with a very well-known TV evangelist that blesses Israel but won't share the Messiah with Israel. There are also those who think there are two covenants, that the old covenant was given to Jews and that the new covenant is given to Gentiles. This is false. Of course, we know that the new covenant was given to Israel. In Jeremiah 31, God promises the new covenant to Israel. So there's only one covenant that is in place today, and that is the covenant that Yeshua paid the price for. And then there's another false doctrine, and that is that the church has replaced Israel, or that the church is Israel. So these are some of the false theologies that have kept the good news from the Jewish people. Also, stereotypes have kept the good news from the Jewish people. There are Christians who think that all Jews are rich. Well, I know one, at least, that is not. In fact, I am told that over 20% of Israel is under the poverty lines, and there are many Jews who are not rich. And so this is another stereotype or something that has kept the good news. Others think that all Jews look alike or think alike or talk alike, and this is all false. In fact, if you go to Israel today, you'll find Jews from all over the world, and they do not all look alike or talk alike or think alike. And just think about the fact that they can't even elect a prime minister. So they don't all think alike. The second reason I think that you need to be sharing with your Christian friends and compelling them is that Many Christians have a distorted view of Yeshua. They have this view of Yeshua that's not really a biblical view. It's not only the Jews that have a distorted view of Jesus. It's also that Christians have a distorted view of Yeshua. And so we need to help them to see the Yeshua of the Bible. We need them to know that he is Jewish, that he is the line of the tribe of Judah. It isn't that he was Jewish. The Bible says he's coming back as king of the Jews, right? And so we need Christians to understand who Yeshua is. And so there are reasons for this distorted view. Of course, tradition, both Christian tradition, or church tradition, and Jewish tradition, both distort the view of Yeshua. The second reason is that anti-Semitism has raised its ugly head even in Congress. I'm sure you're aware of that. And so these are Christians, or who call themselves Christians anyways, and yet they are anti-Jewish. Persecution through the centuries has given Jewish people a very distorted view of Yeshua, that in his name they've been persecuted, that Christians believe that they killed their God. I wonder how in the world they reconcile the idea that God can't die, right? If he's God, he can't die. So how could the Jews kill God? And yet that is what many Christians have believed through the centuries. And so persecution has distorted the view of Yeshua. Also, the presentation is a distortion. The presentation is something like this. Usually in a church you'll hear, God sent his son, he died, he rose from the dead, and if you believe that, you're saved and going to heaven. That may sound like the gospel, but it's very distorted. There's no talk of the Messiah delivering Israel. There's no talk of the King of the Jews. There's no talk of the fact that, you know, that he's coming to rule and reign over all the earth. None of that is in the gospel message today. The good news is the King is coming. And yet that only, for most Christians, is to take us to heaven. And yet his rule is going to be on earth. Hallelujah. And so this is a distortion of the good news of the gospel. The third reason is that God created the Jewish people for a purpose. And until Christians understand that purpose is still today, then Yeshua won't come back. And so there is a need for Christians to help Jewish people fulfill the calling of God. What is the calling? Well, I sometimes tell Christians that for God so loved the world, he created the Jews. Did you know that God loves the world? Yeah? You know that? A lot of people know that he loves Israel, or they think that he used to love Israel. But the fact is that he loves Israel because Israel's to be his light to the nations. He loves the world. He loves everyone. He doesn't want anyone to be destroyed, not even the wicked. He doesn't even want them to be destroyed. And so he created a people to take his message to the world. So how are we going to reach the world if we don't reach the people that God created to be his light to the world? Of course, I don't want to take anything away from you who are called to be his witnesses. You know, remember what Yeshua said? After you receive the power, you are to be his witnesses. That's what the word says. So you are called also. I don't want to take anything away from that. But Israel was created for that purpose. And so we have a destiny that must be fulfilled, a purpose that is within the heart of Jewish people. I know a number of Jewish people that once they receive the Messiah, they have become missionaries. Not only was my father a missionary to Haiti and to Africa, but there are many I talk. I just met from New York in their district council, a lady, I'm trying to remember what country she was going to, but she was Jewish. She was a missionary to some country. And so it's not that that the Jewish people need to hear the gospel so that they'll reach other Jewish people. It's that we want to reach the world with the good news. And so we need Christians to understand this priority. This message needs to be spoken to your Christian friends. Then we have the fourth reason, and that is there is a debt. Now, they're not going to want to hear this, I know. Who likes to find out you owe something? I don't like to find that out. But the scriptures tell us that Gentiles owe the Jews. Did you know that? I should read the scripture. You know, as I said, most people don't like to find out there is a debt. So you'll have to show them in scripture. So you need to go to Romans 15, verses 25 through 27 to show them that Christians owe the Jewish people. It says in verse 25, "But now I am going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints." Now, who are the saints in Jerusalem? These are Jewish believers in Jerusalem. This is before the destruction, before the expulsion of the Jewish people. So these are Jewish believers in Jerusalem. It says, "For it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem." See, I told you they were poor Jews. So he's taken up a collection for the poor saints in Jerusalem. And he says, Paul says, "It pleased them indeed, and they are their debtors." So Paul says that the Gentiles are indebted to the Jewish people. He says, "For if the Gentiles had been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in material things." So here, Paul's heart, he says, from the Jewish people, the gospel went to the world. It went out. And so these Gentiles owe the Jewish people material goods because they're poor, and the Gentiles owe the Jewish believers. You see that? It says that in Scripture. He says that they owe them material goods. Well, if Paul can say that Gentiles owe Jewish believers material things, money or goods, then I think I stand on solid ground to say that Gentiles owe the Jewish people the gospel. And if the Christians owe it to the Jewish people, the Jewish people will receive it, and then a reciprocal action comes along and they share that same gospel with others. And so there is a debt that is owed to the Jewish people that needs to be repaid. If we were to read the things in Romans 9, which are talked about, what the Jewish people have done, provided for the Gentiles, we can see the debt and all of its facets. For the Messiah came from the Jewish people. For the prophets came from the Jewish people. Salvation, Jesus, Yeshua said, salvation is of the Jews. And yet, most Christians see Israel or the Jewish people as just one of many nations, no priority to them. And yet the Bible says, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. And so there's a debt owed to the Jewish people. Now, as I said, most people do not want to hear about a debt. But we also see in Scripture that there is a blessing that will come to the Gentiles. A blessing. Remember, Esau said, give me a blessing, his father, give me a blessing. And God has promised a blessing. So we need to tell Gentiles, we need to tell Christians that there is a blessing. God said, I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. God has promised a blessing to those who bless Israel. And what greater blessing could you be to Israel than to share the good news? There's no greater blessing than eternal life. There's nothing better than that. And so we need to share, we need Christians to share the good news with the Jewish people. Some would say that, that was what happened back then, but this is a different day, that God is doing different things. But Romans also says the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. His calling of Israel, his blessing to the world is as good today as it was 2,000 years ago. And we need to stand on those promises. We want to stand on other promises, promises of healing and promises of protection and promises. But God has made a clear statement, if you bless Israel, he will bless you. And that is as good today as it was back then. We also understand that there is a great blessing that is coming. But it is tied up with Israel. And so the fifth reason that Christians need to be told is that Jewish people are key to world revival. We know, as I've said earlier, that they are key to world evangelism, but they are also key to world revival. Many people are praying either that they be taken to heaven or that Jesus comes. The fact is that Yeshua promised not to come until the Jewish people recognize him as Messiah. And so if Christians want Yeshua to come, they need Jewish people to recognize him. They need Israel to recognize him as Messiah. Let's look at what real revival is. You know, there are many people who are praying for revival, revival in themselves, revival in their congregations, revival in their cities. But let's look at what real revival is. In Romans 11, and verse 12, it says, I say then, have they stumbled, talking about Israel, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not, but through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Now, if Israel's fall is riches for the world, and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Are you getting the picture here? That with their salvation comes great blessings. He says, for I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry, if by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh and save some of them. And here it is, revival. He says, for if their being cast away is the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? Resurrection. You can't be more revived than that. That is true revival. And so if we want to pray for revival, if we want revival, we need Israel to recognize their Messiah. That is world revival. And so We recognize also Matthew 23, verse 39, that states Yeshua is crying over Jerusalem. He cries and says, "How often I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks." The compassion of Yeshua. It is hard for me to understand how there are some Christians that think that Jesus hates the Jews or that Jesus is not concerned. When you hear his compassion, how he wanted to gather them, and we hear his heart. But then he says, "For I say to you, you shall see me no more until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. This is what has to be said by Israel. They will not see him until they say it. And so we need Israel to say, "Baruch haba b'shem Adonai." When they say that, they're recognizing Yeshua as Messiah. When they say it, I am sure it's because they are desperate for God's deliverance. And looking at the world events today, I think that day is coming quickly. We look around the world and see all nations speaking against Israel. Fortunately, our nation is not yet, but I'm afraid that someday, soon, it will say, will speak against Israel. I am going tomorrow to Israel, and I'm looking forward to meeting with different ministries proclaiming the good news to their people. We want to help them. We're going to try to help some of the ministries in Israel as we travel. Carrie and I are traveling across the land from the north to the south. And there are some people who are talking about great revival in the land of Israel. It's not what we want to see yet. But someday, Israel will recognize their Messiah. It is still, less than 1% of Israelis who believe that Yeshua is the Messiah. So it's a long haul, or a much needs to be done in Israel. And we need to be praying for Israel. And we need Christians to pray for Israel. Because until Israel recognizes their Messiah, we will not have his lordship on earth. We want to be able to say, "Emmanuel, God with us." And so I challenge you, every one of you, to proclaim to your Christian friends this need that they be involved in reaching Jewish people. So let me give you some more practical steps. Obviously, pray for our ministry, Rock of Israel, as we're proclaiming both to the Jewish people and to Christians. Pray for us as we travel to Israel. Pray for our staff. We have four ministers on staff. Perhaps, if you find an event here in New York that we can have a booth and we're able to have a booth, maybe you'll want to help us at the fair. But here's a practical way for every single person to be involved. And in fact, I would challenge you to get every Christian involved in this way. First of all, ask them if they know any Jewish people. And surely here in New York, you know someone Jewish, right? If they don't, challenge them to, look on TV. There's a lot of Jewish people on TV. There's a lot of entertainers, all Streisand, Spielberg, all of those entertainers. I'm sure I want you to get them to pray for a Jewish person. And so I'm sure Adam Sandler needs a lot of prayer. But anyways, find a Jewish person. So get Christians to adopt a Jewish person in prayer. The Bible tells us that the prayers of a righteous man will avail much. And so whether we see the answer or not, we know our prayers are effective, right? And so we may not get to see the answer, but we need to be praying, and we need Christians to pray for a Jewish person. There are only about 6 million Jews in America, but there's 100 million Christians. So if we get just 6 million of those Christians to pray for one Jewish person, Israel will be saved, because I believe in prayer. I hope you do too. And so challenge Christians to find one Jewish person to pray for. And if you could get just two, that will get two more. You know, the old pyramid, not scheme, but plan. You just get two, and then those two get two. And by God's grace, the good news will be shared with every Jewish person in America and in the world. The Jewish people are very diverse. I'm sure you're well aware of that. And so many Jewish people don't even care what's in the Bible. There are many Jewish people, they're atheists. I mean, they're Buddhists, Jewish Buddhists. You know, they're called Jubus. And there are a lot of different Jewish people that don't even believe in the Bible, and they need a revelation. And so there are many things we can pray for the Jewish people, but revelation that Yeshua is the Messiah. How many have heard that there are many Arabs having dreams about Jesus? You've heard that? Well, if they have dreams about Jesus, why can't Jews? Why can't Jews have a vision of Yeshua and his atonement, the sacrificed lamb? So pray that there will be revelation, that dreams and visions and supernatural. We serve a supernatural God. God is not inhibited to do anything. He could do everything. And so let's pray that his name would go forth and that the Jewish people would know him as Messiah and King. Shem Yeshua. As I said earlier, I hope that you take time at the table, but at the very least, pick up one of those cards that was mentioned. It says, you know, Jesus made me kosher. Pick up one of those, and if you don't want it or need it, give it to your Christian friend, because it describes Yeshua in a very Jewish way. And so give it to your Christian friends and say, this is about Yeshua, and my people need to hear this. So pick up one. You can pick up two, whatever you like, and maybe put it in your Bible, and the next time you have an opportunity to give it to your Christian friends so that we can proclaim that Israel needs Yeshua. Amen? God bless you. Shalom.